Okay.
Scripture lesson this morning is 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Let us hear God's word. God made him, meaning Jesus Christ, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we come before you now asking that you would feed us with your word. Oh, heavenly Father, open up our hearts. Give us grace to receive your word. Give us grace to proclaim the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Okay. I got a question for you. Put on your thinking hat, your thinking caps, and you think about this. It's a true or false. I always like true or false. You know, 50%. I got 50% chance of getting it right. Don't have to study that hard. It's all true and false. True and false. Only perfect people go to heaven.
False.
Only perfect people. I'm glad you said that. Only perfect people go to heaven. True or false? The answer is true. Only perfect people go to heaven. Oh, now wait, preacher. I've heard you preach several times about how sinful I am. Yeah, and I'm going to continue to preach how sinful you are. But the statement that only perfect people go to heaven is a true statement. It is a true statement. Let me explain. You have something that you do not want. Jesus Christ has something that he wants you to have. Think about it this way. When you get married, you enter into a covenant, an agreement between you and your spouse and the one who has authority over your marriage. Some cases it's the state. Some cases it's the church. Some cases it's the church and the state. But when you get married, everything of your spouse becomes yours. Everything that is yours legally becomes also your spouse. So it is with us and Jesus Christ. In the covenant between God and man, God has set forth his standards, and his standards are that only perfect, holy, righteous, perfect people go to heaven. Guess what? You're in a situation that you can't go to heaven unless you become perfect. What does the scripture say? The scriptures talk about how Christ takes from something that is his and gives to you because you really need what he has to give. But also, he takes from what is yours and it becomes his. Listen to our passage again. God made him, meaning Jesus Christ, God made him who had no sin to be sin for you. So that in him you might become the righteousness of God. Paul, writing to the Romans, says, now a righteousness from God, a righteousness from God. See, God's got a gift. He wants to give it to you. This righteousness from God, apart from law. In other words, you didn't earn it. You didn't do something to make God go, oh boy, that's a neat person there. I need to get them in heaven. No. Apart from you being able to obey any aspect of the law, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all believers. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. From Genesis to Revelation, the Holy Spirit, speaking through the Scriptures, is saying, you can't go to heaven because you are not perfect. And perfection is the standard that God has set. But because God is gracious and full of mercy, he is going to provide you with a righteousness. And he is going to provide for you a way that your sins are punished. It's going to be a perfect substitution. You've heard me say it before. You've seen my hands do this before. It's a perfect substitution. Your sin is set upon Christ. Christ's righteousness is set upon you. It is true that only perfect people go to heaven. You are counted as a perfect person because of Jesus Christ. Now, what'd you do to have God consider you a perfect person? You didn't do anything. As a matter of fact, you just made it worse. You made it worse by trying to commend yourself to God. Don't try to commend yourself to God. You will never be able to commend yourself enough to be considered righteousness, to be considered perfection. So, friend, you better run to Christ, who provides that righteousness for you and who takes your sin upon himself and suffers the cross for you. This, what we'll call a union, this union between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and you is represented here in this table. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. He says, take and eat. This is my body for you. Take and eat. Take and drink. Because the cup represents my shed blood. By bidding us to eat and drink, Christ sets apart the bread and the wine to represent His body and to represent the fact that your sin has perfectly been laid upon Christ. You know, Michael, your answer was good. It's good when you understand it from that perspective that you are. So I'm proud of you, son. That's good. But we need to understand that Christ Jesus has provided us with the righteousness. He has provided a righteousness for you. He has so provided a righteousness for you that you are considered perfect in the eyes of God the Father. You couldn't approach God the Father unless Christ provided you with that righteousness. We have to have our sins forgiven, but that's only half of it. We've got to have a righteousness in order to approach the throne. And that righteousness is given to us by the perfect life of Jesus Christ. That righteousness, you see, does not depend upon itself. It depends upon another. It depends upon Jesus Christ. Jesus says that He is the vine and we are the branches. You see, the branches find their life in the vine. That's what we must do. And in a sense, it has been done for us because here's the table that represents us. Therefore, it is only by faith, only by trusting God's Word, what God has said about His Son. It is only by trusting God's Word that we are then presented as one who is righteous. We can't bear fruit on our own. We must remain in the vine. We cannot go out on our own. We must follow the shepherd's voice. And the shepherd says, here, this table, it is for you to show you what I have done for you. Christ provides you with righteousness. Christ suffers for our sin. It's a perfect substitution. And this substitution remains with us always. Preacher, you know I'm a great sinner. Yeah, I know you are a great sinner. Aren't we all? But even the sins that you commit now do not make null and void what this table represents. Because you're not standing in your righteousness. You're standing in the righteousness of Christ. And that cannot be changed. He is God. He remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. What He has done, the shedding of His blood, remains forever and ever. Your sin does not cancel out this table. Instead, it should humble you. That God should so love you that He would provide everything you need for salvation from all eternity. From all eternity. He has set His love upon you and you and you. Doesn't it just blow your mind? Blows my mind. Blows our mind to think, what manner of love is this? That we should be called the children of God. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank You for the righteousness that You provide, Heavenly Father. A righteousness that we cannot provide on our own, but You have done that for us. Also, we cannot make atonement for our sins, yet You have done that for us too. Oh, Heavenly Father, You have loved us with an everlasting love. Such a great love that even Your Son goes to the cross. He goes to the cross, Heavenly Father, in order to guarantee our salvation. Oh, Father God, help us to know and to understand how deep and wide and long Your love is. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us prepare for the sacrament. Let us stand and sing hymn number 87. Hymn number 87, we'll sing 1 through 4.